to see this number out this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'll be turning to the book of James and the second chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And while you're getting settled, we want to welcome our visitors. I want you to know we consider you honored guests. It's good to see some visiting with us again. I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. If you find I've taught something wrong, I stand to be corrected. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that Brother Craig has suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready this morning so you can be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ and this church family, while we're standing and singing, if you'll make your way to the front, we'd be glad to assist you in any way that we can. In the book of James and the second chapter, if you will, read one verse with me for the thought of our study. In verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." At this particular time, James is writing to Christians to put before them a grand truth. And that truth is that faith without works is dead. James is saying that the way that one shows he has faith is by the works he does. A faith that does not work is no faith at all. And James is proclaiming to the people of that day that one must have faith, one must have works to show that faith. Then he contrasts that to show another picture. He said, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Look at that first line. Notice the statement that the body without the spirit is dead. Now, there are a lot of unanswered questions in regard to death. When does it occur, and what happens at death? Some say that death occurs when the heart ceases to beat. However, that is not always true, because there are times they can get the heart to beat again. But death occurs when the spirit or the life of an individual leaves the body. A body cannot function without a soul or a spirit, nor can a soul or spirit function without a body. When Paul was writing his second epistle to the church at Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 through 8, Paul says, "We are confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent for the Lord." Then he says in verse 8, "We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So this is true in regard to the spiritual body. That here is a body that the soul has left, and that body is now dead. But when you look at a local church, I want to raise the question, when has a local church died? This past week, when we were studying with Brother Mark, he made the statement about local churches dying on the vine. And that got me to thinking about how can we tell when a local church is dead. And I want us to think about a way we can tell when a spiritual body, the local church, has died. The first thing I want us to recognize is the church is identified as a body throughout the New Testament. When the Apostle Paul writes, he describes the church as a body many times. If you take your New Testament, turn with me to 1 Corinthians and the 12th chapter. And when you come to 1 Corinthians and the 12th chapter, I want you to look at what the Apostle Paul had to say, beginning at verse 12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I am not of the body,' is it not therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrators, and varieties of tongues. Now when Paul was writing this, notice the fact that there is the universal church. And the universal church is all the saved of all times, of all places. But when Paul was writing this, if you go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look, if you will, at verses 1 and 2. Paul is writing in verse 2 to the church of God, which is at Corinth. He's writing to that local church. But what he writes to the church at Corinth applies to the church at Eastside. And I want you to understand that Paul is saying that there is one body universally. That there is one body that belongs to Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, Paul said there's one body. And in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, he said the body is the church. Then he said Christ is the head of the body. That you find in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. If Christ is the head of the head instructs the body what to do. The body doesn't give instruction to the head, but the head is over the body. And the church, in its collectivity, is the body. Individually, I'm a member. But collectively, we are the body, the church, that belongs to Christ, and Christ is the head. And Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 12, 27, as a local church, we are a body. And as members of that body, each one of us individually have responsibilities. So here at this locality in Shevelville, Tennessee, we are a body of believers. But that puts a question. I want to know, just my friend, how alive is this body? Are we a healthy, vibrant body at Eastside? Are we a body that is growing? Are we a body that is finding great health and vigor in God's Word? Or are we a body that is dying? Are we a body that is on the decline? Are we unhealthy spiritually? Are we going away from the Lord? So that brings up a serious question. How can I tell when a local church has ceased living? How can I tell that a church is dead? The first thing I want us to think about is that we know a local church is dead when the spirit has departed. Now, I'm not talking about the soul or the spirit of man. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has ceased to do what God desires, I want you to understand when we no longer follow God's Word, then a local church is dead. I'll tell you, the day that we decide to do things our way instead of God's way, the day the body tells the head what to do and doesn't listen to instruction from the head, is the day the body dies. Because there's a separation. In Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 2, you remember that he says sin is what causes separation. And you can go back into the book of Judges, and you remember when Samson continued to sin against God, it said the spirit departed from him. Then you can read about Saul when he was king, and you remember when he defied God's command to kill all the Amalekites, the spirit of God departed from him. So the Spirit departed from those individuals. Now consider in local churches. When can we determine when the Spirit of God has left the local church? Well, open your Bible to the book of Galatians in the 5th chapter and notice several things with me. You can tell when a local church is dying is when the members are no longer producing fruit. In Galatians chapter 5, look if you will at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, a local body that does not show fruit is one that is dying. You know, when we do not produce the fruit of the Spirit, when we do not act upon what the Spirit of God has revealed to us, then I'll tell you that the local church will begin to die. Here is a local church and its fruit is fleshly, I'll tell you, my friend, and not spiritual. It is a local church that is not right with God, and spiritually it's dead. You can look at a local church and might think it's alive because the music is pumping and the band is good and the programs the church has instituted are popular. However, that does not show spiritual life. That shows carnal life. And just because they have carnality to get a great crowd does not mean spiritually they're following the head. And if one does not follow the head, one does not follow Christ, then I'll tell you, spiritually, they're dead. If you take your Bible for just a moment, and you look in the Galatians chapter 5, and look at what Paul says in verse 16, you'll see he says, walk in the Spirit. Underscore that. That is a divine command, that we are to be spiritual in our worship. We are a spiritual body, and we're not to act carnally. Open your Bible, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice that when Paul was writing to the church at Corinth, the first three verses. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning at verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you're still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? You know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying when a local church becomes carnally minded and not spiritually minded, when they're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, then spiritually they're dead. But that brings up a second thought. A local church is dead when it's not filled with the Spirit of God. Open your Bible for just a moment to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. And when you come to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, look at verse 14. In Romans 8:14, the Apostle Paul said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, how am I led by the Spirit of God? Through the Word. The Spirit uses the Word to lead man. But now then, if you take your Bible, turn to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And in Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. We are commanded to walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5. We are commanded to be led by the Spirit, Romans 8. We are commanded to be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5. So how do I become filled with the Spirit? That means that I allow God's Word, the Spirit, to control me through God's Word. I'm under the control of the Spirit through the Word. I've submitted myself to God's will. And Paul says that's what gives life. I thought about how Paul has talked to individuals and to the collectivity and said you're to be filled with the Spirit of God. And now how's one filled? Now we've put before us the fact that we're to be led and filled with the Spirit. A church that's not led nor filled is dead. And we're filled with the Spirit when we allow the Word of God to be leading us. But that brings up a third thought. I want you to look at an example of a dead church. Look, if you will, in the Revelation letter and the third chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the third chapter, you read about the church identified as Sardis. And the name Sardis means alive. But notice what Jesus said about it. Jesus said about it in verse 1. These things says He who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. He's talking to the collectivity. Then look at what He says. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. For I've not found your works perfect before God. Remember therefore how you've received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Yet you have a few names, even in Sardis, who've not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now notice they had a name to be alive, but they were spiritually dead. And secondly, observe, they needed to return to the teachings that had been given to them by the men of God as guided by the Holy Spirit. Now here are people who make up a local church of Sardis. And it appears they are compromising with the world. With every other congregation at that time, almost it appears they were suffering persecution. Sardis doesn't seem to be suffering any persecution. Why? They've compromised with the world. They're so much like the world, nobody can tell them apart. You want to know how a local church looks when they've compromised with the world? There's a church in Franklin, Tennessee, that came out and said that they will not oppose homosexuality, but that they will go along with homosexuality. And they marched in Nashville, Tennessee in the Gay Pride Parade. Now, my friend, I'm to love the homosexual, but I'm to hate that sin. I'm to love their soul and want them to be saved, but I am not to condone the sin. I cannot compromise the sin. And when a local body compromises to make the body happy and not to make the head happy, I'll tell you what, that church is dead. Spiritually separated from God. And I want you to think about, here are people today that they want to feel good about themselves. But they're not doing good in the eyes of God. But notice, even in this collectivity, that it says in verse 4, there were some in that whole group that were not compromising, but they were following the Holy Spirit. He said, even in that church, even in Sardis, there are some who've not defiled their garments. You know what that means? We're not going to be judged as a collectivity. We're going to be judged individually. And he said, some had not stained their robes with sin. They've not separated from Christ. They continued to follow the Holy Spirit. But that brings up another thought. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 3. When you take your Bible and look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul was writing to the young evangelist, he gives us a picture in verse 5. Look at verse 5 carefully. And he's talking about individuals, but this could apply to a local church. He said, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away. You know, a corpse is a form. It is a body that is inhabited by a soul or a spirit. It ceases to perform because all it is the shell. The soul has departed. And some local churches appear to be alive, but it's just the form. It's the shell of what it should be. You want to know why preachers preach and plead with people to look and study and to understand the Scripture. It's because, my friend, we want to have more than the shell. We want to be right spiritually with God. We want to make sure that we are in fellowship with our Father in heaven, that we've not compromised our souls, we've not sold out to the devil. Some local churches appear to be alive, but it's just the form. You know, some morticians can make a dead person look better than he did when he was alive. And some churches do that with the shell. And there be no power. This last week, Brother McCrary brought to our mind the fact we need to be committed. I want to ask you a question, and only you can answer. If you were as committed to your spouse as you are to God, would you still be married? If you were as committed to your children as you are to God, how close would you be with them? Just what is it we are committed to? Just what is it in this life that you have given great commitment to? And the second question I want to ask is this church dying? Are we just a shell that shows a form of godliness, but we deny the power of God? We're not committed to worshiping Him. We're not committed to serving Him. We're not committed to our brethren. We're not committed to trying to get the work to grow. In fact, the business, we don't even want to talk about religion outside these walls, lest someone think we're a fanatic. We won't tell anybody else about Jesus. I'll tell you, my friend, if that's our attitude, then I'll tell you, then each side is dying. I want to thank the people that came to the meeting every night. And I realize some of you couldn't. I realize that some of you came every chance you got. I recognize that. God recognizes that. And I'm not mad at anybody, but I will tell you, I know there's some who could have been here more than weren't. But it hurts me. Because what it shows is that we're not committed as much to God as we should be. When I look at the numbers, sometimes I shake my head. And I just wonder, where will we be? The first little church I preached at full time was over here in Marshall County, Chapel Hill, Tennessee. No longer meeting. In 20 years, will there be an East Side congregation? If not, you know who we can blame? Ourselves for not being committed. And you may say, well, preacher, 20 years from now, I won't care as long as I'm right. Well, I'll tell you something. Every time a light goes out in a community, that's just that much more ground the devil has gained. And God help us not to give the devil one more inch, but stand our ground as the people of God. If you're here this morning and you need to be baptized,